Well, we are not in Ephesians on Sunday evenings. We are in the Gospel of John and the 15th chapter. Jesus said, John 15 and verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." That you bear much fruit. That is a critical expression for our text in John 15. It's one of the key verses, in fact, in that passage. And we've already seen as we've gone through this text a little at a time this spring that a real branch bears fruit. But we know this is kind of a metaphor or an allegory, so it just kind of begs the question, what does Jesus mean when he talks about you and me bearing fruit? So let's kind of set the broader context before we think about that a little bit more closely by rereading this entire account in the first 11 chapters of John 15. And again, remember where we are. We are in the upper room. We are with Jesus and his disciples. And there is this sense where he is preparing them to soldier on without him after 3 years of intimate relationship and discipleship. And so this is a part of the preparation for them to go forth to pursue the Great Commission and to do it in a way that promotes the kingdom of Christ. And so John 15 and verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser," Jesus is speaking. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have loved my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Well, my kind of go-to commentator on this text, Dr. James Roskup is his name, makes this simple but thoughtful comment on the words of Jesus here in verse 8, where he says that you bear much fruit. Talking about fruit, he comments that fruit is the product of life. Fruit is the product of life. Or you could say it like this, I guess. God says that fruit bearing is what life is all about. Fruit bearing for the Christian is what life is all about. So we're going to talk tonight about fruit producing and why it really is so important. And I'm going to give you, to begin with, two basic reasons. And then as we close, we'll touch on two additional reasons. But we'll spend a little more time on the first two. Fruit bearing is, for the Christian, important because God stresses bearing fruit. And secondly, it's God who produces our fruit. So it's important. Fruit is important because God stresses it and God produces it. Well, in the scripture, not only here in this text in John 15, but in all of both the New Testament and the Old, God stresses the importance of the Christian bearing spiritual fruit. We'll talk first of all about a couple of kind of simple ideas that clue us that this is an important idea. And one of the hints is that the Greek word used most often for fruit in your New Testament, it's the word karpos, appears almost 70 times in the New Testament. So it is a very common concept and an idea or a statistic that makes it even clearer how important this fruit-bearing idea is that in 24 of the 27 New Testament books, the author manages to allude to the idea of bearing some form of spiritual fruit. So it's everywhere in your New Testament. And not just in your New Testament. It appears in the first chapter of your Bible in Genesis 1, where we are told to be fruitful and go forth and multiply. But it also appears in the last chapter of your Bible in Revelation 22, where it is told that we will enjoy the fruit of the tree of life, and that one tree has 12 kinds of fruit. So from the beginning to the end and everywhere in between, the Bible is concerned with the production of spiritual fruit in the life of the faithful believer. And there are more texts that we could consider together that we could sit and think and list. Familiar to most of us, Psalm chapter 1, we read a little bit ago, the righteous man who bears his fruit in his season. Isaiah chapter 5, in the story of Israel as God's vineyard, not always doing very well. Of course, this evening's text, John 15, and the importance that we bear much fruit. Galatians chapter 5, and its list of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, you know, you might say that the entire goal of the Christian in life, particularly as we frame it up in light of John chapter 15, could be summarized, I am here to bear much fruit for the kingdom. So how are you going to use your time? If you're here to be fruitful, and if being fruitful glorifies the Father, how are you going to use your time? How are you going to focus your opportunities? So, you know, one of the authors just kind of did a little math thing that I thought was kind of compelling when he talked about, you know, thinking about using your time to bear fruit. He did a math problem. He said, well, let's say you came to faith in Christ when you were 15 years old. And we catch up with you when you're 65. I'm not saying your life is over. Life has just begun at 65, right? But at that point, you've lived as a believer for 50 years, a good long time. And let's say that over those 50 years, you got to sleep about 8 hours a night. So that means that you have over 17 and a half million waking hours to account for in those 50 years. So what were you doing with them? Were you bearing much fruit? Or we could use the same idea and kind of approach it from a completely different angle, where in James chapter 4 and verse 14, this verse is very popular. John Piper has made this verse very popular. Your life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So what will you do with that precious little amount of time, 17 and a half million hours, that you have to live? Will you live it for Christ? Will you make it count while your time is now? And the point, whether you approach it from my friend's perspective or from James' perspective, whether you think of the many hours that you are accountable for or the fact that your life is like a passing mist, are you making it count? Are you making it count? And perhaps you can think of additional texts that illustrate fruit-bearing examples. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Back to the book of Genesis, that statement in Genesis that said, as God created the trees and the shrubs of the field, that the trees brought forth fruit after their kind. which by analogy would tell us if we are abiding in Christ as our vine, then we should be bringing forth the fruit of Christ-likeness after his kind. So fruit bearing is important. And perhaps it is, I should probably drop out the word perhaps, the most important activity in the life of the believer. Well, spiritual fruit must be important because ultimately, think about this with me, ultimately for the believer, it is God who is producing the fruit that we bear day by day. Both in the physical world and in the spiritual world, ultimately God is the source of spiritual life and therefore of fruit. And remember my initial quote, fruit is the product of life. All real life produces some kind of fruit or some kind of product. So it's whether it's in the vineyard or the garden or the Christian life, life passes from the vine to the branch. In the vineyard, God gives the rain and the sun for the plants to thrive and to produce fruit. So God is the ultimate source there. But that is just as true for our spiritual life, beloved. A couple of verses here. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8, God says, from me comes your fruit. Of course, our text here in John 15, the abider in Jesus bears fruit. Verse 5, without him, see it there? Without him, we do nothing. Galatians 5 and verse 22, it is the Holy Spirit who produces his fruit in the life of the faithful. And then there are several references to this idea, at least in general, that God produces fruit in the life of the believer in the book of Philippians. So why don't you join me there in the middle of your New Testament in Philippians 1, chapter 1. Paul writes, and remember Paul writes this from prison, and I pray, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, here it comes, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness in the life of the believer is ultimately the product of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Philippians 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I love this verse. These two verses are just one sentence, really. They're a compound sentence, and they answer the question, so who is it? Is it me or is it God? And the answer is yes. In the first verse, verse 12, there's a command. And the command is to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a responsibility for the believer to work out his salvation and to do it carefully and vigorously. However, for in verse 13, the underlying fuel and motivation for the believer is the Spirit of God at work in his life. So who's responsible? You are. But ultimately, who makes it happen? God does. Chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things. Can you finish that one for me? Through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. It's him, isn't it? Fruit is important because God wants to produce it in your life. So, what kind of fruit does an apple tree produce? I know, duh. It produces apple. But my point is that all fruit has the characteristics of its source. And so if we have just said that ultimately God is the one who produces fruit in the life of the faithful, if God is producing his fruit in you, then what in general kind of fruit will it be? Well, it will be fruit after its kind, Genesis 1. It will be fruit that looks a whole lot like Christ. And so who will we become like? We'll become like Him. Well, you know, there is no fooling God on this fruit-bearing business. You might be able to fool us. I mean, have you ever tried to eat a wax apple? Yikes, not good. But you can't fool God like that. God knows when our fruit is genuine or when it is fake, and He just knows when it is. Well, back to our key text for this evening, Genesis 15 and 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Why don't you, if you're not there, look at that along with me in your text, John 15 and 8. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We've already said that fruit is important because God stresses it and God produces it. Jesus additionally says in this statement that your fruit has two more results that prove how important it is. Do you see them there? The first, your spiritual productivity glorifies God. It enhances, in some sense, His reputation. Do you remember Roy? Roy Hagerman, the gardener? I remember a couple of times in the early years when I pastored here that an article would appear in the spring about Roy Hagerman and his incredible garden. And I'd see it, and then a couple of years later, they do a completely new article with a completely new pictures. And the productivity of Roy's garden gained him glory in the little town of Sedalia. When you and I are fruitful gardens for the Lord, God's reputation is magnified throughout the land. Our changed lives demonstrate to our neighbors that we serve a God of love and power who conspicuously transforms lives. I mean, do your friends see a difference in you? I'm guessing they do. And then a second reason why fruit is important from the words of Jesus in verse 8. Your spiritual fruitfulness proves that you are Jesus' disciples. You know, you can ask somebody that if they're a believer, and they might say, yes, or I think so, or I hope so. But we all know the old adage that talk is just a little bit cheap. And so by their fruits, you will know them. Salvation begins by faith alone. It does indeed, without reference to our good works or personal merit. Our salvation begins when we place our faith completely and only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who claims to be the Son of God, who came to earth and lived a sinless life, who died not for sins of His own, but for our sins, bearing our sins in our place, taking our punishment on our behalf. And then He was buried and God raised Him on the third day, and the resurrection proves that it's true, that God has accepted the gift and the sacrifice of His Son on behalf of His people, and we can be forgiven and we can know that eternal life is ours if we will just turn to Jesus and trust that these things are true. And so we are saved by mere faith and repentance. But having said that, it is absolutely inarguable that the Bible teaches that once being given new life through faith in Christ, we will begin to bear fruit of our repentance, that we will begin to bear fruit in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the testimony to our neighbors. That is the proof that we are His disciples. Your fruitfulness proves that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ already provided in that upper room discourse one important example of the fruit
that he produces, and it's the fruit of love. And he says something very similar about love in the life of the believer. For by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So I hope that this study reminds you that we must, if we follow Christ, make fruitfulness a priority in our lives. And do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be fruitful? Amen. Well, I would listen to Roy talk about his garden. I listen to many of my friends talk about their gardens. I know that the vineyard or the garden is a place that requires both hard work, but yet complete dependence upon God. Because at the end of the week, at the end of the growing season, it is God who sends the rain, and it is God who sends the sun, and really it is God who keeps away the bugs. If you want to be fruitful, take a personal inventory. I mean, are you bearing fruit? Paul writes in two other places, 1 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 13, that we should examine ourselves and see if we are living and producing as we ought. It is not wrong to take a good hard look at your own heart. Are you bearing fruit? And as you take a good hard look, what areas of fruitfulness are strong? You'll find some that are. And what types or aspects of fruit are maybe lacking? And maybe you could go to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 to get some help in kind of looking at yourself at that level of detail. But regardless of where you're strong today and maybe not as strong today, wouldn't you agree as you think about going forward into the future that God wants every aspect of your garden to produce a bountiful harvest? Wouldn't that be the goal? I believe it would. So next Sunday evening, Lord willing, we will consider five biblical categories, broad categories of spiritual fruit. The vine, the Lord Jesus calls you to abide and therefore to bring forth a harvest. So as we go from this place this evening and into our week, live for Christ, abide in Christ, and we'll grow. Let's pray. Father, we do want to be productive. We don't want to waste the opportunities you give us. We don't want to set our sights or our goals on lesser things. We want to make an impact in the kingdom. We want to make a lasting, eternal difference in the lives of our family and our friends and our community. We want to be like Christ. And so, Father, help us. Help us, Father, as we see how important this is. Help us by your great grace to bear fruit for our Master. In Jesus' name, amen.